This is the listening test of the 2023 Year 9 Final Examination in English. There are four tasks in this test. You will hear the recording twice for all of the tasks. Now turn to task 1. Task 1. You will hear two people talk about Christmas traditions. You will hear the recording twice. Before you listen, read the sentences below. While you listen, complete the sentences. Write no more than three words in each gap. An example, 0, has been done for you. You now have 30 seconds to read the sentences.
So, Megan, we are both teachers, English teachers in Japan.
Yes.
And we both come from countries that celebrate Christmas. But Christmas is so different in Japan than in our home countries. So I thought we would talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's particularly different to Australia. We have it in summer. So actually, when it gets hotter here in Japan, I start to feel like it's getting into Christmas season.
Oh, right. So summer is Christmas.
Yes, yeah.
That is so cool. You still do the Christmas tree and the gifts under the tree?
We do. And we have a lot of the same Christmas traditions, but the food is pretty different. We eat a lot of fresh fruits.
That's interesting. You know, it's cool that you brought up food because we're both in Japan, and I think it's very interesting that in Japan, the Christmas dinner is fried chicken.
Yes, I can't imagine eating KFC or any kind of chicken for Christmas. Yeah, I don't think we usually eat chicken. Maybe some families would eat roast chicken, but usually we eat cold meats.
Oh, in America, it's very close to Thanksgiving, so usually you have a big bird, right? So you have turkey or chicken or ham. Ham is a big one, so you might have baked ham. But you have lots of sweets, lots of cakes, Christmas cakes, pies, cookies, things like that. So everybody gains a lot of weight. So in Australia, because it's so warm, you spend the day at the beach?
We do, yeah. A lot of people have pools. Their own pools. So they will go swimming in their backyard, or they'll go to the beach or play cricket outside.
Wow, that's fantastic. So in the northern hemisphere, Christmas is often associated with snow. So you have, you know, the snowman and things like that. Do you have those type of decorations in Australia?
We do, yeah.
Oh,
although
do?
We don't have any snow, we still have the snow decorations.
Really? So you've lived in a country with a warm Christmas and a country with a cold Christmas. Which do you prefer?
Well, I think because I've spent so many Christmases in Australia that I still feel like it's Christmas when it gets warmer. And when I see things like peaches and watermelons in season, I want to celebrate Christmas.
Listen again and check your answers.
So, Megan, we are both teachers, English teachers in Japan.
Yes.
And we both come from countries that celebrate Christmas. But Christmas is so different in Japan than in our home countries. So I thought we would talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's particularly different to Australia. We have it in summer. So actually, when it gets hotter here in Japan, I start to feel like it's getting into Christmas season.
Oh, right. So summer is Christmas.
Yes, yeah.
That is so cool. You still do the Christmas tree and the gifts under the tree?
We do. And we have a lot of the same Christmas traditions, but the food is pretty different. We eat a lot of fresh fruits.
That's interesting. You know, it's cool that you brought up food because we're both in Japan, and I think it's very interesting that in Japan, the Christmas dinner is fried chicken.
Yes, I can't imagine eating KFC or any kind of chicken for Christmas. Yeah, I don't think we usually eat chicken. Maybe some families would eat roast chicken, but usually we eat cold meats.
Oh, in America, it's very close to Thanksgiving, so usually you have a big bird, right? So you have turkey or chicken Or ham. Ham is a big one. So you might have baked ham. But you have lots of sweets, lots of cakes, Christmas cakes, pies, cookies, things like that. So everybody gains a lot of weight. So in Australia, because it's so warm, you spend the day at the beach?
We do, yeah. A lot of people have pools, their own pools. So they will go swimming in their backyard, or they'll go to the beach, or play cricket outside.
Wow, that's fantastic. So in the northern hemisphere, Christmas is often associated with snow. So you have, the snowman and things like that. Do you have those type of decorations in Australia?
We do, yeah.
Oh, you
Although
do?
we don't have any snow, we still have the snow decorations.
Really? So you've lived in a country with a warm Christmas and a country with a cold Christmas. Which do you prefer?
Well, I think because I've spent so many Christmases in Australia that I still feel like it's Christmas when it gets warmer. And when I see things like peaches and watermelons in season, I want to celebrate Christmas.
That is the end of task one. Now move on to task two. Task two. You will hear some people talk about what they remember most about their high school. You will hear the recording twice. Before you listen, read the sentences A to H below. While you listen, match the sentences to the speakers and write letters B to H in the table. There are two extra sentences that you do not need to use. An example zero has been done for you. You now have 30 seconds to read the sentences. Example zero.
I went to school in the countryside, and it was really relaxing to learn there. The school was located in a forest, and there was a lake we could see from the window. There was a lot of different animals that we could see. I just remember that a family of deer would walk right up to the windows during science class, and our teacher would stop the lesson and feed them apples.
Speaker one.
My high school, it's a international school. Students are from, well, majority of students are from Asia, but we do have students from Europe and Americas. And I like the multicultural environment. It was very nice.
Speaker two.
My high school was a grammar school, which meant that we had to take an exam to get into it. It was also an all-boys school, and it was quite a prestigious school within the area due to the entrance exam. So the academic level of the school was quite high, but and also with it being an all-boys school, there was a very strong focus on sports.
Speaker three.
I went to a public high school, which is paid by local taxes. So, since I had kind of a wealthier town, we had a nice high school. There were a lot of art programs and technology programs, and a lot of good teachers. Not too many students there, only about 180 students in my class.
Speaker four.
It was a fairly large school, mostly because there were so many grades, but each grade had a fair amount of students as well. They weren't that well known for sports or the arts. They were more of an academic school, but we did have a pretty good track and field, and we had some nice basketball courts as well. And my favorite thing to do there was to play in the basketball courts.
Speaker five.
Okay, my high school for me kind of has two parts because to begin with, when I entered my high school, it was completely different to when I left, because while I was there, they actually rebuilt it. So while at first it looked kind of interesting, there were lots of different buildings, different shapes, different sizes. By the time I left, everything was kind of uniform and box-shaped, and it looked terrible.
Listen again and check your answers. Speaker 1.
My high school, it's a international school. Students are from, majority of students are from Asia, but we do have students from Europe and Americas. And I like the multicultural environment. It was very nice.
Speaker 2.
My high school was a grammar school, which meant that we had to take an exam to get into it. It was also an all-boys school, and it was quite a prestigious school within the area due to the entrance exam. So the academic level of the school was quite high, and also with it being an all-boys school, there was a very strong focus on sports.
Speaker 3.
I went to a public high school, which is paid by local taxes. So since I had kind of a wealthier town, we had a nice high school. There are a lot of art programs and technology programs and a lot of good teachers. Not too many students there, only about 180 students in my class.
Speaker 4.
It was a fairly large school, mostly because there were so many grades, but each grade had a fair amount of students as well. They weren't that well known for sports or the arts. They were more of an academic school. But we did have a pretty good track and field, and we had some nice basketball courts as well. And my favorite thing to do there was to play in the basketball courts.
Speaker 5.
Okay, my high school for me kind of has two parts, because to begin with, when I entered my high school, it was completely different to when I left, because while I was there, they actually rebuilt it. So while at first it looked kind of interesting, there were lots of different buildings, different shapes, different sizes. By the time I left, everything was kind of uniform and box-shaped, and it looked terrible.
That is the end of task 2. Now move on to task 3. Task 3. You will hear a talk about an animal hero. You will hear the recording twice. Before you listen, read the sentences below. While you listen, tick the correct option A, B, or C. An example 0 has been done for you. You now have 45 seconds to read the sentences.
Bear was a German Shepherd, from Mills, Texas. He began as a shelter dog at the Weatherford Shelter, kept in the back because nobody wanted him. His owner Debbie Smith came to the shelter in search for a dog, for her mother. When she saw Bear, it was obvious he was the one for her. Bear could tell that too. The two became very close in such a short time. Everything was perfect, up until 18 years ago, when Debbie had a horseback riding accident, causing daily seizures, which are sudden attacks of illness. The same year in May, Debbie Smith had a seizure in her front yard, falling down the stairs and hitting her head in the process. She soon became unconscious. After Bear noticed it, he wasted no time rushing to get help. He scratched on every door in the neighborhood, but nobody answered. Bear was not going to give up until he found help. An animal control officer from Parker County saw the dog, chaotic and running around, obviously trying to get someone's attention. He went over to find out what was going on. When he approached, Bear pulled him in Debbie's direction. By then she was conscious, and the animal control officer called for help. When the ambulance came, Bear even hopped in with Debbie. The amazing thing about Bear is that he was never trained, but he could tell the signs of seizures, and was able to alert Debbie before anything happened. To alert, seizure dogs often bark, paw or circle, but Bear jumped on Debbie's legs instead. Once Bear jumped on her legs, she knew to sit down before any injury or dangers could happen. Bear was a hero because he never gave up while looking for help. He found a way to help his owner, and he was always by her side.
Listen again and check your answers.
Bear was a German Shepherd, from Mills, Texas. He began as a shelter dog at the Weatherford Shelter, kept in the back because nobody wanted him. His owner Debbie Smith came to the shelter in search for a dog, for her mother. When she saw Bear, it was obvious he was the one for her. Bear could tell that too. The two became very close in such a short time. Everything was perfect, up until 18 years ago, when Debbie had a horseback riding accident, causing daily seizures, which are sudden attacks of illness. The same year in May, Debbie Smith had a seizure in her front yard, falling down the stairs and hitting her head in the process. She soon became unconscious. After Bear noticed it, he wasted no time rushing to get help. He scratched on every door in the neighborhood, but nobody answered. Bear was not going to give up until he found help. An animal control officer from Parker County saw the dog, chaotic and running around, obviously trying to get someone's attention. He went over to find out what was going on. When he approached, Bear pulled him in Debbie's direction. By then she was conscious, and the animal control officer called for help. When the ambulance came, Bear even hopped in with Debbie. The amazing thing about Bear is that he was never trained, but he could tell the signs of seizures, and was able to alert Debbie before anything happened. To alert, seizure dogs often bark, paw or circle, but Bear jumped on Debbie's legs instead. Once Bear jumped on her legs, she knew to sit down before any injury or dangers could happen. Bear was a hero because he never gave up while looking for help. He found a way to help his owner, and he was always by her side.
That is the end of task 3. Now move on to task 4. Task 4. You will hear some tips for better sleep. You will hear the recording twice. Before you listen, read the information in the table below. While you listen, complete the table. Write no more than 3 words in each gap. An example 0 has been done for you. You now have 30 seconds to read the information. We can all have a bad night of sleep, and that's perfectly normal. But how could we try to improve both the quantity and the quality of our sleep? Here are tips for better sleep. The first tip is regularity. Go to bed at the same time and wake up at the same time. Regularity is king, and it will improve both the quantity and the quality, no matter whether it's the weekday or the weekend. The reason is that deep within your brain, you have a master 24-hour clock that controls your sleep-wake time. The next tip is temperature. It turns out that your brain and your body need to drop their temperature by about 1 degree Celsius to stay asleep. So the current recommendation is to aim for a bedroom temperature of a little over 18 degrees Celsius. It sounds cold, but cold it must be. The next tip is darkness. We need darkness specifically in the evening. In the last hour before bed, try to stay away from all of those computer screens And if you'd like, you can wear an eye mask or you can have blackout shades. Next, have a wind down routine. I think many of us in the modern world, we expect to be able to dive into bed at night, switch off the light, and we think that sleep is also just like a light switch, that we should immediately be able to fall asleep. Well, unfortunately, sleep isn't quite like that for most of us. Sleep is much more similar to landing a plane. In the last 20 minutes before bed, or the last half an hour, even the last hour, try to do something relaxing. Find out whatever works for you, and when you have found it, stick to that routine. Finally, if you still cannot sleep, walk it out. Don't stay in bed awake for long periods of time. If you've been trying to fall asleep, and it's been 25 minutes or so, the recommendation is to get out of bed and go and do something different. And by getting out of bed, you can go and do something else. Only return to bed when you're sleepy. In that way, gradually, your brain will relearn that your bed is this place of sound sleep. Listen again and check your answers. We can all have a bad night of sleep, and that's perfectly normal. But how could we try to improve both the quantity and the quality of our sleep? Here are tips for better sleep. The first tip is regularity. Go to bed at the same time and wake up at the same time. Regularity is king, and it will improve both the quantity and the quality, no matter whether it's the weekday or the weekend. The reason is that deep within your brain, you have a master 24-hour clock that controls your sleep-wake time. The next tip is temperature. It turns out that your brain and your body need to drop their temperature by about 1 degree Celsius to stay asleep. So the current recommendation is to aim for a bedroom temperature of a little over 18 degrees Celsius. It sounds cold, but cold it must be. The next tip is darkness. We need darkness specifically in the evening. In the last hour before bed, try to stay away from all of those computer screens. And if you'd like, you can wear an eye mask or you can have blackout shades. Next, have a wind down routine. I think many of us in the modern world, we expect to be able to dive into bed at night, switch off the light, and we think that sleep is also just like a light switch, that we should immediately be able to fall asleep. Well, unfortunately, sleep isn't quite like that for most of us. Sleep is much more similar to landing a plane. In the last 20 minutes before bed, or the last half an hour, even the last hour, try to do something relaxing. Find out whatever works for you, and when you have found it, stick to that routine. Finally, if you still cannot sleep, walk it out. Don't stay in bed awake for long periods of time. If you've been trying to fall asleep, and it's been 25 minutes or so, the recommendation is to get out of bed and go and do something different. And by getting out of bed, you can go and do something else. Only return to bed when you're sleepy. In that way, gradually, your brain will relearn that your bed is this place of sound sleep. That is the end of the listening test. Now move on to the reading test.